Our message today is New Wine in New Wineskins. I've never preached about this sermon before. In fact, last week I prepared three messages that I've never preached on before. So the reason I'm doing that is because I keep getting insights into God's Word, and I don't want to lose that. I just don't want to always rely on work that I've done before. And so here we go. This parable here, if we want to put it this way, and I want to explain in a little bit what that means. Here it says in Luke chapter 5, verse 36 through 38, it's actually a parallel to what Brother Marvin read before out of Matthew chapter 9. Jesus spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also, the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Or else, the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, that both are preserved. This was actually early in the ministry of our Lord, as his fame was growing, so was also the opposition to his teachings, because he taught in a authoritative way, with authority, the Bible says, in a way that the Pharisees and the scribes didn't understand and didn't know how to do. Well, who can be even close to the matchless Savior, Jesus Christ? He was the Messiah. He had the message from God. And Jesus was very persistent and undaunted about his message. He knew that the truth must be taught and spoken. He knew that the gospel of the kingdom of God must be made available through the message, through the preaching of the word, so that souls would be helped, that others could recognize the desperate need that they're in accepting what God has given them in Jesus Christ. So Christ was never in doubt. He was never confused about the plan that God the Father had for him. He was never in doubt about why he came to earth. He came to fulfill the Father's command to establish not only God's church, but salvation for everyone. So Christ knew early in the ministry that he had come to die for the sins of the world. He knew that he had come to change the history of the human race forever. And this change was not very welcomed, especially by the religious leaders. They didn't want that change. They didn't want the new wine. They were too used to the old. And one of these occasions, the Bible tells us that Jesus, Jesus loved to go to parties somehow. I mean, he went to the wedding in Cana. That was how he started his ministry. And he made water to wine. And some people argue, well, it wasn't real wine. It was just grape juice or whatever. However you want to argue the point, the Bible is very clear that he performed a absolute miracle, something that had never happened before. Jesus has new wine. And this new wine, he says in our text, needs to be in new wineskins. And there are two questions. After he had had this meal with the tax collectors, Levi, or also called Matthew, had invited his friends to a meal, and Jesus came too. He wanted his friends to get to know Jesus. I mean, he really did a good network. He spread the word, and this is how we should do that. Invite people over and or visit them or meet them at a restaurant and introduce them to Jesus or introduce them to the good message of the gospel, whatever the Lord puts on our hearts. But here, Jesus was with tax collectors and sinners, and the religious leaders looked down on them because these were people that were usually known to be dishonest. These were people that were known to be betrayers, and they didn't live right. And so Jesus ate with them. And it's interesting that religious leaders always, even today, we always feel like if we eat with sinners, that might defile us. But Jesus had a different view. Jesus said, well, you know, I am the light of the world, he said, and I will eat with those that have darkness in their hearts so that light may come to them. Jesus wasn't afraid to eat with sinners because he wanted to give them what? New wine. And that was the whole aspect of his ministry. So I believe that these two questions that he was asked, he used the four parables that are given as an answer to those two questions. Here's the first question that was asked of Jesus. Why do you, or they asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and sinners? In other words, they said, how can this righteous man possibly defile himself with these sinners and social outcasts? And here's a very important lesson for us right here in this question. How can we, as believers in Jesus Christ, live a godly life without getting defiled in this world and witness to others? How can we even have fellowship with those that are non-believers in a sense that we are ministering Christ to them? And that's very important. To this, the Lord had an answer. And he gave the answer that was very loaded up, if you will, with divine wisdom. And it was totally void of self-righteousness. It was void of legalism. It was void of hypocrisy that the Pharisees had on a daily basis. The second question that was asked of Jesus was this. How is it, and this was the disciples of John the Baptist asking his disciples, how is it that the Pharisees fast and we fast, but your disciples do not fast? And in these parables, a parable is a story that uses symbolic language or figures to make a very important point. And they are designed and intended to be interpreted within the context of the purposes for which they are given. And we shouldn't read into parables anything that is outside. We can't read in a lot of things that some people would like to read into what Jesus has said. We need to keep it where Jesus was teaching. So here we go. What is the definition of this parable with the wineskins? Jesus used images that are familiar to his audiences. For example, you don't patch a old cloth that has a tear with a new one. Why? Many of us would probably not know how to interpret that. We don't do those things. I mean, nowadays, if I have a torn shirt, I may not have it fixed. I may just throw it away and buy a new one, right? It's easier. Because, you know, by the time you take a new patch and you put it on there. But I remember my mother, she would always patch our clothes. After wash, she would wash a whole day. One day was washing and one day was patching clothes. Patch up everything, every tear. But Jesus says here, if a new, unshrunk piece of cloth is put on an old one, what's going to happen? He says the tear will be bigger because the new cloth is so much stronger It even looks different, one translation says. It doesn't match. And the same with the new wine. The wineskins, in Jesus' time, wine was stored in wineskins, not bottles. That time they didn't have glass. I guess they didn't know how to make glass at that time. But the wineskins were actually made of sheep or goat skins, usually goat skins that were sewn together, except at the neck. And these were the whole skin of a goat. And it was cleaned, it was, you know, really processed well, and then it was sewn together. And at the throat, at the neck, the opening was there. So they could put new wine in there. Now, when Jesus says that the old wineskins cannot hold new wine, it was because the old wineskins from the alcohol that was in the wine had become hardened. So the old wineskins were no longer flexible. So if you would put new wine into old wineskins, the old wineskins couldn't move very much, and the new wine is energetic, has certain gases that it gives off, and it causes pressure. And Jesus said the old wineskins will burst. And guess what? Both are going to be ruined. The new wine will be ruined and the old wineskin will be finished as well. So he says, this is the wise thing that we usually do. And his hearers, his listeners knew exactly what he was talking about when he used this parable. Old skins would not work. They were no longer elastic. And so what Jesus was relating here is the relationship between the new that he offered and the old traditional Judaism. Let's keep that in mind. According to some interpreters, Jesus here pits his own new way against the old way of the Pharisees and their scribes. So we should consider that these are the two covenants. And some people say, well, what is wrong with the Old Testament? There's nothing wrong with the Old Testament. But loved ones, if we want to live only by the Old Testament, if we want to go back to the old, and this is so clear in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if we want to live in the Old Testament law, if we violate one law, it will be totally useless for us. Because we will be guilty of all of it. And so Paul is of the opinion, not only of the opinion, I think of the persuasion and conviction, that you cannot serve God in the new covenant if you want to hold on to the old one. And this is very important. Jesus didn't say that the old wineskins are useless, okay? He only says that you don't put new wine into old wineskins. He says the new wine need to be put in new wineskins that are flexible, that will be able to adapt, that will be able to handle it. So Jesus distinguished himself here as the giver of the new wine. And what Jesus presented to his through his teachings was much more powerful and much more spirit-driven and anointed than what the Pharisees offered. The Pharisees offered legalism. And legalism was not only the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, if that would have been it. They had a lot of laws that were on the side. You shall not do this, you shall not do this, you shall not do work on the Sabbath. And so the interpretation that the Pharisees had was all worked out into details, to the T. And Jesus offered something completely different. And this angered the Pharisees. It was like the old was clashing with the new, or the new with the old. The message to us today is clear. To blend the Jewish way of life with the Christian way of life is a misinterpretation and a misunderstanding of the Word of God. And if we go back to keeping some of the Old Testament law, like the Sabbath or like other things that people, for example, circumcision, you know, people could do that and say, yeah, you know, I'm going to keep the law and circumcise my children of course, the boys only, but I will keep the law in the Sabbath and I will do all this. Loved ones, we become confused. Because Jesus says you don't put the new wine into your old wineskins. We cannot have it both ways. This is why Paul had such strong language to the Galatians. And he talked about grace. He says you are under grace and no longer under the old law. Because the old law will eventually condemn you. The old law will eventually fall short of what the new wine can do for us. And the new wine is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it is true for our lives. Jesus wants us to embrace His message, His ways, His love, His salvation, His mind. And He wants us, listen to this, Jesus wants you and me to exclude all other beliefs, all other lifestyles, and all so-called alternative lifestyles. He wants us to exclude all other philosophies that Jesus is the one and only, the all in all. That is His goal in us and for us. That's the new wine in new wineskins. You see, religious rituals without purpose are dead and can only produce dead works. If you are religious, that doesn't automatically make you spiritual. If you have a religion and hold on to a certain set of beliefs or philosophy, that doesn't mean that you have the new wine. And some people are so stuck in their ways that they just hold on to the old and say, no, the old is milder. The old is definitely better than what the new one. So in answering their misconceptions, Jesus made it clear that the real issue and observance of these, even the fasting and prayer, should not be a form of legalistic righteousness, but with a deep sense of personal freedom in the Spirit. When He answered about the fasting, He said, my disciples, they will fast. They will have plenty of time to fast. There's a season for everything. But what is important that it has a spiritual goal, that it always leads to spiritual freedom, the faith and the love in Jesus Christ, the new wine. Let me look at this. I just almost said some German words in here. Let me look at this from another perspective. The new wine must be put in to new wine skins. The old law cannot be kept if the gospel is accepted. Legalism cannot stand if we accept the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. You see, the new dispensation of grace is infinitely better than the old law. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to the Messiah. And it is so beautiful for us to see when you read the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I love to read the Old Testament. I get a lot of inspiration from the Old Testament. I see Jesus Christ throughout the Old Testament. Have you seen Christ in the books of Moses lately? Have you seen Christ in the Psalms, in the Proverbs, and especially in the book of Isaiah and some other prophets? Have you seen Christ in there? Oh, it's wonderful. The old Yahweh was Jesus Christ, and everything in the Old Testament was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And we, if we believe in Jesus Christ with all our hearts, if we trust Him in faith, then when we keep the old law automatically in our relationship with Jesus Christ, because He is the Alpha, He is the Omega, He is forever the same, and only Him, that's all we need. That is the new wine. One of these days I'll start to preach. Jesus, who inspired both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is key to interpreting both. You cannot understand the Bible, the Old or New Testament, without believing in Jesus Christ. And I believe that God has so much more for us that I will get to it in a little bit. So what does Jesus mean, new wineskins? What does that mean for us? It means that we, you and I, need to become vessels of God's new wine. You and I need to become worthy of receiving that wine that Jesus has. And you know what that is? You and I need to be born again. That is the new wine. That is the new vessel. And He said, you cannot receive anything from the Spirit of God as long as you are in your old nature. You cannot receive anything from God, the salvation, whatever He offers, unless you are born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God, or you cannot get into the kingdom of God. There's no way. Jesus says, unless you are born again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. He has become a new wineskin. Now, we fortunately don't look like a goat skin. I think we look a lot better than that. But this is a symbol that Jesus uses here. And He says the old things have what? The old has passed away. We have become new because of this new wine that we are now to receive from Jesus Christ. How wonderful is that? See, our old person cannot receive the grace of God. In a sense, yes. I mean, when we come in repentance and in remorse and we confess our sins, then we enter the grace period in our lives. Then we enter into God's kingdom. Then we can receive. But the natural man, this is what Paul says, cannot understand or receive anything from the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 through 9. For to be carnally minded, that means the old nature, the old wineskin, is death. See, when you're carnally minded and then you're confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ and you try to receive it, it means that you die. You're finished. The carnal mind cannot receive it. But to be spiritually minded, he said, is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. This is the words that the Apostle Paul wrote. And John, the Apostle, wrote that Jesus had come as a light in the world and people rejected it. Why? Because they wanted to hold on to the old wineskins, the old nature, because they were so familiar with it. You see, just because we are so familiar with our old nature doesn't mean that we need to stay in it. You will say, well, Pastor, can I crawl out of my own skin and just become new? That would be asked the same as Nicodemus did. How can a grown man be born again? Can he also go back in the mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus says, no, it's all of the Spirit. We need to be born again by the Spirit, the water, and the Word. You see, but God's Word is also challenging us as new wineskins, that our old habits must go and we must make room for the new habits. You see, we all are creatures of habit. We all have our habits, whether they're good or bad, but we all do have habits. One of the reasons that we are here is we have the habit of going to church at this time on Sunday morning. It's almost like a programmed computer. Come Sunday morning, we're there, it kicks in, the date is here, the time is here, and we're here. That's a good habit. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul talks about how this happens, how this new wineskin gets ready for the new wine. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, you know, our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And loved ones, if we really want to be new wineskins, if we really want to have this new wine in Jesus Christ in us, we need to get rid of any habits of addictions. If our bodies are supposed to be living sacrifices to God, we should not be addicted to drugs, whether prescription or illegal. We should not be addicted to alcohol and pornography and all those things. We should take the old out and just sweep it out and say, no, that's the old. I want the new. Or habits of bad character, cussing and gossiping and jealousy and time wasting. And what I mean by time wasting is many people have the habit of always running late and not respecting other people's time, or being moody, or attitudes of griping and complaining and disrespect. We need to sometimes have an attitude adjustment. And I remember years ago when our boys grew up, they knew exactly what it meant, an attitude adjustment. And sometimes, you know, kids need an attitude adjustment, but not just kids. We need attitude adjustments. And the Bible talks about that this new wine, the Spirit of God that is in us and wants to be in us, He wants to adjust our attitudes if it's not right. He wants to blow that whistle when we cross the line, like we heard recently. I read this sentence. This is really fitting, I believe. There are two types of patients as in the hospital, that Jesus cannot heal. There are the ones who will not agree that they are sick, just deny everything, holding on to the old. And then there are those who will not trust Him for the cure. First of all, denial, and then unbelief. And God wants us to get rid of those things and wants us to believe in the new wine, the new grace, the new strength, the power that He offers us. The old habits must be replaced by new habits. And we always say, well, as long as I can stay away from sin, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do this, I don't do that. But what are we doing? We need to replace bad habits with good ones. You say, well, I don't cuss. Well, are we friendly? Are we sober? Sober-minded, the Bible says. Are we being spiritually alert? Are we in the habit of Bible reading and prayer and church attending? Are we in the habit of giving our tithe to the Lord? Is that our habit, or is it just all, you know, acting as if? In Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21, here it talks, gives a list of good habits that we need to develop as we are a new wineskin with a new wine. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Evil. That means be shocked. Be absolutely stunned and just astonished if you see evil. Don't dismiss evil and say, well, I see that all the time. That's nothing, nothing big. No, we need to abhor evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, to honor in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, so rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Those are good habits. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath of the Lord. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And verse 21 here, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, don't just stay away from old habits, but develop new habits that are really working for you, that you can overcome the evil easier and easier and better all the time. See, the new wine is a life of obedience to Christ. And that's what Jesus was introducing here. He said, if you believe in me, you have the new wine. But you will not experience it. You will not know the fullness and the full effect of the new wine unless you become a new wineskin. There's a new wine of forgiveness. Oh, the new wine of forgiveness when we experience that. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Put out the old and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forget your thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he abundantly forgives or pardons. That is the new wine that we need. Walk in a life of forgiveness, following Christ, being obedient to Christ. Lord, you have forgiven me so much, so I will forgive anyone who wronged me. The new wine of peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's the new wine. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, which means the good habits. Let them be seen by others, for the Lord is at hand. He is present. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the new wine, loved ones. That's what we need to walk in that peace. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 through 16 says, therefore, gird up your loins the loins of your mind, and be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. Get rid of the old. Keep away from the old, as in your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, so also be holy in all of your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I want to ask you this morning, as we come to the conclusion, are you living a life that pleases Christ? I'm not asking you if you're pleasing other people or if you're pleasing me. I'm asking you, do you have this new wine and a new wineskin? Are you regenerated? Are you born again? Do you know today, right here and right now, do you know for sure that you are a born again believer and you can thank God for it? Do you know that? That's the question. Are you filled with the grace of God? Are you executing your Christian life, living your Christian life under the direction and leadership and anointing of the Holy Spirit? Stop trying to live your life, your Christian life, in old habits that are not pleasing to the Lord or not allowing you to make any progress in your Christian walk with the Lord. Maybe you have habits that are hindering you from growing in the Lord. Maybe you wonder and you're frustrated why you're not growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But maybe God wants to point a finger at some things in your life that hinder you. Ask God to change you through His Word and through His grace from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. Keep drinking the new wine of God in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, and I want to ask you to stand at this time. God has more for us, and we shouldn't be satisfied with only a few drops. Is your new wine pretty low in your wineskin? Is your wineskin itself pretty hardened? No more flexible for the Spirit of God to work in your life? Would you pray with me today? And I prayed this prayer over and over last week for myself. And it's actually a song that we will sing in a moment. That the Holy Spirit would fill your heart. God has more for you and me. He wants to possess you with His Holy Spirit. He wants to give you more of that new wine that you never had before. Would you make that decision? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Make me, mold me, fill me. Use me. That is a new wine. The Spirit of God wants to give you that which Jesus has. He wants to explain and reveal to you what Jesus has for you personally, very individualized. He wants to give you that power, that victory that you have longed for. He wants to take you from a defeated life to a life of victory and joy and grace and peace in Jesus Christ. That which you have always longed for, the Holy Spirit has for you. For all of us. Let us pray.